Hi, I'm DTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are joined by...
Hey, it's Gene Tai from Hexagon, Jason. Again, thanks to you and to the gracious hands of WTOP for letting us do this every year. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome. So again, it's an annual thing. Remind us the dates here. What time? When do you guys kick off this year?
The first show is on Friday, March the 6th, and we're running the show on Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sunday matinees until the 21st of March. So we'll be over on the 21st, a week before the end of March.
Awesome. And then the big thing that's different this year, why don't you tell our listeners, you are going to be in a brand new location. You used to be up at Woodrow Wilson High School up by Tenleytown, but now where are you going now?
Well, we made a move to Northern Virginia. It's the Synetic Theater on Bell Street in the Crystal City. Those of you that are aware of all the stuff that's happening with HQ2 and the Amazon move, well, this is smack dab in the middle of that. The Synetic Theater is underground and has about 300 seats, so it's a different venue this year. And there are some concerns. There are some challenges there. I don't know if you have been there before, but you notice it's a little bit more of a place to find. You have to look for parking and get ready for that. So I've kind of got my own contingency set on how to handle our media guests for that. But anyway, it's a new place, Northern Virginia, so we'll see how it goes.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, the Crystal City Metro might even be the best way.
Exactly.
A lot of people, but the cool thing is you'll be down, you know, right by Capitol Hill, and you're right there, but, you know, Pentagon's there, and, you know, you're right near all that, where the action that you're going to be roasting. So that's cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all apt guests and all ready to go.
All right, cool. So what caused the move?
We had a couple of logistical concerns, and we basically had to find a venue that would take us for, you know, 3 weeks or so, and at a moderate, easy-to-handle cost. And that's really the thing, too, is a number of venues we've had before, like Duke Ellington, have gone up considerably in the cost. And right now, in our history, we can't do that. So Hexagon is going to have to look at a challenge, smaller theaters, see if we can make the amount of money we need to keep going at the same time, have the audiences come and see us like they always have. So it's a challenge in both ways. We've got to market ourselves a little better, and we've got to think about the new generation, too, and having that, keeping that new generation happy and wanting them to consider coming back and enjoying themselves and challenging themselves to a new brand of humor, too. So Hexagon is evolving to the new Hexagon. It's been 65 years. We've done things pretty much the same way. And you know how change is. Change has got to come. So we're trying to do what we can to make that change a part of the show and move forward and still attract not only the older folks who have been with us for a while, the alumni, but also the newer millennials and Gen X and so forth. So it's been keeping us up at night a little bit to see how this whole thing is going to evolve itself into. So that's the new thing, the new Hexagon. 65
awesome.
And above.
Awesome. Remind us a little bit of the history, how it, you know, it splintered off the Princeton Triangle and why it's called Hexagon, all that stuff.
Well, it's called Hexagon because there were originally a couple of men that put this together. They joined with a third guy, and they wanted to have the ladies involved. And they thought, well, you know, we call this thing Hexagon. It's a six-sided thing that has, you know, three women, three men. They put together a show, and they gave the proceeds, the cost of the show, the ticket sales to, I think it was the Red Cross was one of the first ones. But they did that, and they decided to evolve the show into a little bit bigger venue. And, of course, coming to D.C. from New Jersey, where it was really the Princeton Triangle Club, and Charles Isley broke off from that. He brought the group down here and started doing a show every year. And, of course, back then, we only had three TV channels. We only had NBC, CBS, ABC. And we didn't have that much in the way of theater going on. Well, nowadays, it's exploded. There's theater everywhere. The Kennedy Center, you have all the community theaters, Shakespeare, everything's everywhere. So now we're having to compete in that new area. And there was a thought given, I think, a few years ago that people say, why do we keep doing this if there's such competition out there? But what we found is that there were enough people that still enjoyed doing it, wanted to perform and could write material for the show, that it was just bound to keep going in one shape or another. So hopefully, now that we're 65, I wouldn't call us in the Geritol generation, but that's where we are. We're in a little bit different era, and we're looking forward to new challenges and trying to get new folks to help us put the show on as we move forward. Synetic is going to be an interesting challenge for us, so we will see what happens. It's a smaller place. And hopefully, if things catch on fire and we have a little bit smarter show, we can get more people to want to come to it. But that's why the station called WTOP is so important, because, boy, do they help us attract the crowd with the length and breadth of their footprint in the D.C. metro area is extremely important, and they have been so nice to us. So that's an important relationship, and it's important to keep the show going with them and their help. So,
awesome. Now, we're in an election year, so that's going to give you plenty of fodder. some of the current events, maybe topics or political figures that might pop up for show.
Well, you might even see Judge Amy Berman Jackson. Now, you know who she is. She's the U.S. District Judge for the D.C. Circuit, and she just made an important decision a couple days ago that I won't go into, but she's in the news. Well, believe it or not, Judge Jackson was a member of Hexagon, and she was on stage with us and helped write stuff and so forth. So we have invited her back, and I don't think she's going to come, but she's someone who could pop up to see what the show is like. You know Chris, Senator Chris Van Hollen from Maryland. He's been on the show several times. Rayla Hood, who ended up as transportation secretary before he left government, he was a representative who came every year and was extremely loyal to us. So we're hoping maybe to see Rayla Hood and Connie Morella, you know, from the 8th District of Maryland. Chris Van Hollen took her seat. But anyway, Connie is an old friend and a really loyal Hexagon person, and we hope to see Connie come back. And also, of course, Eleanor Holmes Norton and Billy Long from Missouri. And we're also hoping that Donna Shalala can come back. Donna, as you know, is the current 8th District of Florida congresswoman, and she was the secretary of HHS under President Clinton. And I saw her in the hallway, and she's more excited than I am. She wants to come back, so we forward her an invitation so she might pop up. Many of our listeners will probably remember her from years past when she was in the government, but she loves Hexagon, so we're hoping that she'll come back. And also, a guy named Joe Wilson that many of you remember caused a little bit of a ruckus in one of President Obama's State of the Union messages, something about medical stuff. I won't go into that, but anyway, he's been a loyal Hexagon person too, a Republican, so hopefully Joe will come back and pop up and you'll get a chance to see him. And one of our other people, of course, that you haven't probably seen much of is, there's an old name from way back that you may remember, Mary Jo Kopechne. Those of you who remember Mary Jo and why she was made notable as her contact in the office of Senator Ted Kennedy, well, believe it or not, Mary Jo Kopechne was a member of Hexagon, and she's memorialized here, but hopefully you'll get a chance to see some of these people come back and see us. And they're anxious to see us, too. It's just a matter of us reaching out and saying, hey, come see the show or be in the show. We'd be happy to, you know, have you join the show. So you'll get to see some of those names and maybe a couple new ones. Who knows?
All right. So those are some of the famous political figures that might show up.
Right.
What are some of the political topics that you guys are going to be roasting here?
Well, you're going to be looking a little bit at some of the more controversial things on immigration, you know, Medicare for all. We've had a very complex and difficult year in the Middle East. You'll probably hear one thing or another about that. Some of the countries involved there, Iran, Syria, Iraq. But you'll probably see a little bit on the economy. I guess you know today the economy's rip-roaring and going forward. Some predictions that it's maybe headed for a correction. But you'll see something on that. You're probably, without a doubt, going to see something on the acquittal and the impeachment that took place here recently. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but that's been such a heavy-duty news item lately. You're probably going to hear something about that. Maybe something about whistleblowers and some of the apps, streaming apps that have been going on, and, of course, election meddling, which has become a really big deal for us, obviously, as you just mentioned. We're in the middle of an election year with the Iowa caucuses having problems and some of the other things going on, and, of course, getting in towards Super Tuesday. So in all likelihood, when you go to the show, you're going to see something about that. How did it come out? What's going to be the transformation on that side, the blue side? Because actually the title we've got this year is one state, two state, red state, blue state. Well, guess what that kind of connotes? It is an election year, so we're going to be mentioning something about maybe how the election is going or how it's going to come out. Not any prediction for you to quote, but something that has fun and pokes fun on both sides and says, hey, we're having a good time this year. It's been an interesting year because it's been an election year, so it'll be fun.
Talk about more. You mentioned, you know, how it's equal opportunity roasting both sides, you know, no matter what side of the political aisle our listeners are, how they can still come out and have a good time and see all sides get made fun of a little bit.
You betcha. We want to have fun with both sides. We want our conservatives and our liberals to enjoy themselves. That's what this is all about. Hexagon has always been, you know, nonpartisan. If you're, you know, in the spoof business and you're on both sides, you do hear a little bit back and forth, and that's important. So Republicans and Democrats and independents, you know, we welcome everybody. We have, of course, a group of people that have been doing something somewhat of the same thing that we've been doing, the Capital Steps, which is our profit-making birthday friends over there. Some of those folks came to Hexagon or came from Hexagon, but we want everybody across the board to enjoy themselves. The bottom line is fun, so we're hoping they come to see a balanced, fun show that pokes fun at the conservatives, at the Democrats, at the liberals, the independents, anybody and everybody you could think of that you've seen in the news. That's where we're going, and we don't mean anything personal by this. This is all fun and above board, and it's not meant definitively to get at anyone. It's just fun, and that's the way we intended. So everyone enjoys themselves, and they pay a little contribution to the folks that do the work for the SMILE organization. I think you've probably already heard about SMILE, the group that does work for the LGBTQ community and helps advocate for them, and also does work to help them find jobs and to navigate the difficult and complex lives they lead, both as, you know, children and young adults. Kind of an important thing, so we're hoping to donate some money to them, you know, at the end of the show. But it won't happen unless, you know, our listeners who have known us for a long time get a chance to come. They buy tickets and come on in and see us. And, you know, I would advise anyone who wants to come to the show, if you haven't been to the show before, ask your friends. There are a lot of people in this area that know Hexagon from way back. And come and see us. There's probably a chance that you could get in and see part of it if you don't want to see the whole thing. But we'd love to have you try the new venue and see the show for itself on an election year, which ought to be interesting for all parties involved.
Awesome. So you mentioned this year's charity, which is SMILE. I know last year you guys did the Hope Connections, which was, you know, for cancer victims. You guys, you know, always, you know, are good about, you know, donating the money. What percentage usually goes to that? And do you know how much it's been raised over the years?
Depending on the expenses for the year, you know, the board gets together on the final weekend of the show and they decide how much we're going to donate, but it's usually between 80 and 95%, much more towards 95%. Of course, we're always collecting funds from that, either if there's a gala event or some special social event that goes to that. But the supporting and mentoring youth advocates and leaders that as the group are giving money to this year, they're very worthwhile, and they've helped a lot of young men and women go through some difficult moments. So hopefully up to the final day we're doing the show, which is the, you know, Saturday, the 21st of March, we'll be able to give them a sizable amount, maybe more towards 95%, you know, of what we collect. So, and if you do want to know what the last 5% or so is for, it's for putting on the show, the production costs, things we have to pay for, like rent and some of the advertising that we do that's a little more expensive. So we do have to take that into consideration. But all the people that are involved in contributing to the show, both the material and acting and singing and so forth, that's all free. That's all done by volunteers. So the expenses that we have are things that we incur when anyone tries to put on a venue of this kind in Washington, where you just have to pay the rent or for parking or something like that. And what I'm going to try to do this year, too, depending on how things go with the new venue, because as I'm sure your listeners know, the venue at the Synetic Theater is underground, is we're going to make sure people, if they do have difficulty getting to the theater, we can always come get them and maybe shuttle them over there, because that time of night is going to be a little bit towards evening, and dusk will be early, so we'll do all we can to have them have a good time and enjoy themselves and come see us. So it should
awesome.
Be a good show.
Yeah, you mentioned how it's put on by all these dozens of volunteers. What, you know, give me a sampling of sort of, you know, what, you know, all the, you know, at night they perform for Hexagon on the weekends here, but what do they do for their day jobs? You know, who are these people?
Well, these people, you know, I mentioned Judge Jackson. I mean, a lot of them are government workers that have been involved in one sort or another in some kind of performing throughout their adult lives. And they come and see Hexagon because it's a great release. It's a fun thing. They want to laugh. They want to have a good time. And, believe it or not, we've had a lot of folks meet their spouses or future partners at Hexagon. I used to joke when I was, you know, on the stage myself for Hexagon that Hexagon was like the most livable and livable dating site in Washington, D.C., because you get there, you meet somebody you like, and you're doing the same things, you're having a good time, and you find someone that enjoys performing and singing like you do, and by gosh, those some of those relationships are still going. So pretty amazing history. But a number of the people that we have in the parent organization, the supporting organization, Friends of Hexagon, those people married their spouses or they had partners that they found and they're still with them today. It's pretty remarkable history going back, you know, to 1955. But a lot of these people met and got to know their partners and spouses at Hexagon. So believe it or not, it's also had the social side to it.
Awesome. And before we run, I know you've been generous with your time, but give me a sense of how, you know, like the timeline for creating this year's. You know, I assume you started right as soon as last year was over. And, you know, just give me an idea of the chronology of that, how it affects each year is actually written.
Well, the show's writing really starts in late summer, early fall. You know, 2 to 3 weeks after the show's over with, beginning of April, you know, the Easter time frame, these folks, you know, depending on how things are going in the news, and a lot of them work in government or they work on Capitol Hill, they're going to start thinking about it. Okay, what happened here? What's going on that we could possibly put together for a little shtick or a little sketch or a song? Because Hexagon is a musical organization too, but about August, September time frame, the meetings start. They start to get together. This is an idea that I have. I'd like to do something on the metro, or I'd like to do something on D.C. traffic or something like that. And they get together with somebody. They write the material, and somebody walks in and says, you know, I've got a little jingle that that might work with. So it begins in August and then leads all the way up to the show then, you know, auditions in early December with, you know, continuous rehearsals that go right up to the beginning of the show on the 6th March. It really is a true, very, very rewarding and important thing that these people contribute to, because if you're on stage at Hexagon, you've spent a lot of time putting together material and rehearsing it, and it gets almost, you know, changed and rehearsed up to the very last minute. So you're seeing people who've devoted much of their lives the previous 4 or 5 months to Hexagon. So it's, you know, it's really a passion, and that's why you get to see such a good show, I think, is people have their hearts in it, or they wouldn't be up there. So it's quite a deal. It goes, again, almost around the clock, around the year. So it starts pretty much after the show ends, and ends with our show here in March.
Awesome. Well, again, check it out. It's remind us the dates again.
March 6th through the 21st, and you go to www.hexagon.org. You can buy tickets there, and you'll see a little bit of Iman El-Ghamdi's documentary on Hexagon, What It Takes, if you want to watch that, get a little idea of what Hexagon is about. But you go to the website, and you can buy tickets there. We look forward to seeing you.
All right. Gene Tai, thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
Well, thanks to you, Jason, and thanks to WTOP. We really appreciate it, and come see us.